Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, March 3rd, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 94, the second paragraph. Your candidate may give reasons, and we're going to read through that one paragraph only. And today's readers are the 12 Steps, Rifki H., the 12 Traditions, Laura R., the readers of the text are Jennifer H., Kara L., and Ramona A. The share ID for Monday, March 2nd, yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 14,198. That's 14198. And for Tuesday, this morning's meeting, March 3rd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 14,203. That's 14203. Our newcomer greeter is Kaylee R., and our announcements coordinator is Leslie M. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Rifki H. to read the 12 steps. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood it. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made a direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Rifki. And I will now ask Laura R. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Mo. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be deorganized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, Mo, and I pass.
Thank you, Laura R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. That's the star 1 button, not the mute button on your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 94, the second paragraph down there at the bottom. And it starts with, your candidate may give reasons. And I will now ask Jennifer H. to get us started. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. This is Jennifer H. in North Alabama, recovered compulsive overeater. Your candidate may give reasons why he need not follow all of the program. He may rebel at the thought of a drastic house cleaning which requires discussion with other people. Do not contradict such views. Tell him you once felt as he does, but you doubt whether you would have made progress had you not taken action. On your first visit, tell him about the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. If he shows interest, lend him your copy of this book. Well, this is a very straightforward, you know, kind of paragraph, and I really appreciate the clear directions in here that I'm finally able to see and use. So give reasons why he need not follow all of the program. And, you know, I certainly did that. In fact, my first reaction was, I already know all this, which, I mean, maybe I had heard this stuff and I knew that it was what one should do, but that didn't mean that I was able to do it or I had ever done it or that I knew how to do it. And so that was a big difference there, and I just had to be willing to follow it and actually take the actions. And, you know, the other thing that comes to mind, I know this paragraph is talking about the steps themselves, but on this first discussion, you know, this first visit, you know, my vision sponsor and I, you know, she asked, you know, the abstinence, are you willing to give up the sugar? So, and when I've had that conversation with, that was the main one, although there's a whole list, of course, for me, but, you know, and so when I've talked with sponsees since then, that's kind of part of this one that, and they'll say, but what about, you know, following, like, what is all of the program on that? What is going to be the abstinence? And so, you know, that's where there may be some reasons that they give and stuff, and that's just something that will have to be worked through, you know, and everything. And rebel at the thought of a drastic house cleaning, which requires discussion with other people. That was something that, of course, I isolated, and also I was a, right now I'm a 2-year-old basically, because my character defects and my compulsive eating blocked my interaction with other people and my higher power and everything else. So I really didn't know how to discuss things with other people, you know, and so, but it's required. So I don't get to say, I'm not in very good shape, I can't really do this, you know, I don't know how to discuss this. And I don't get to say, they were mean. It's required. It's required that I discuss it. And so I have to just keep going and hope that we, you know, everybody, as it says, the fellowship of OA, we can hopefully be understanding. And even if we're not, we can understand that some of us might be the only 7-year-olds or something. And so I don't contradict such views. And my sponsor definitely told me, she said, are you willing to do this? And I said, I cannot imagine being able to do this, but I'm willing to try. And she said, I once felt as you do. She said, that's exactly what I said, but it was enough. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I wouldn't have made much progress if I hadn't taken the action, because I could see that she had it and I didn't, and I knew what she had done, and so I had to be willing to do that.
Hi.
And so that's all the time there. So that other big thing was if he shows interest. And now that I'm out of the food and some things have been cleared away, I'm able to see if somebody shows interest or not, which I couldn't in the past, so whether or not, you know, I need to lend him a copy and keep having the discussion. So I'm grateful to you guys for being here, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Jennifer, for getting us started. We're reminding everybody we're on page 94, the second paragraph. Your candidate may give reasons, and who would like to share this morning?
Leah S.
Leah.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Ida A.
Barbara E.
Ida
Barbara
A.
E.
Gotcha. I got you, Barbara.
Thank you.
Ida A.
I got you, Ida. I've got Leah, Donna, Ida, Barbara.
Darian K.
Darian K. And one more.
Irene B.
Irene B. Okay. Okay, I have Leah S., Donna B., Ida A., Barbara E., Darian K., and Irene B. Leah, get us started, followed by Donna B.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. My name is Leah S., recovered and grateful in Brooklyn, New York. So these paragraphs are so important. I'll have you know that I am abstinent since October of 2014. And sponsoring and trying to sponsor many people. And today was a very surprising phone call for me. So I had done a very intense fourth step with my protege, and she called me this morning and told me that she, very calmly, that over the weekend she just had lot of pastries, and Sunday and Monday, when she failed to call me, she was abstinent, and she is ready to work with me. And it's an interesting phenomenon, because I just wanted to, for my own curiosity, if she remembered anything that we had done, all the intense work. And she said, yes, and I'm ready to get back. And I said to her, it doesn't really work that way. It doesn't really work that way, because I cannot tell you that I am abstinent and then come on and you know, like I had a very big occasion this last week. My granddaughter got married. And there was so many temptations that it was a big occasion, you know. I don't do these things. It's like there's no more two-sided layer, no more. It's a one-sided layer, and that's what it is. It is what it is. So truthfully, I told her that she really has to decide upon herself what she wants to do. And I'm not angry. I'm not angry, because this has been a learning experience for me. I guess I never had such an experience before, and that's why it's so surprising. But yeah, I got to learn these. There are all kinds of people, and there are diseases very, very devious and very conniving. I can't repeat it enough to myself. Thank you, God, for being with me and to staying with me. I pass.
Thank you, Leah S. Donna B., followed by Ida A. Donna?
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. This is a challenging paragraph for me to live in practice. In general, in my life, I've been exposed to a lot of dogma and philosophies of extremism. And I'm afraid that sometimes people, there are those who come to Vision for You and very much feel, I've come home, this is the solution, we are speaking the truth. And that has been my personal experience. My disease is one in which this solution is the only solution. And I do go to face-to-face meetings in Denver, and I meet so many people who hear us speaking on the Vision for You and are scared and are resistant and are not sure if this is what they want or if this is what they can do. And for me, having experienced philosophies of dogma and extremism in my own home from my parents, it's important that I remember to have an open heart, to be compassionate, to be understanding, to utilize the skills that I have learned to accept people where they are, to be able to say, you might be right. This might not be the solution for you. I encourage you to keep coming back, to keep listening to all the voices in the rooms. And if you see something that you want, ask how it was achieved. I know that's a controversial stance to take, but it is my hope that OA can be a home for all people, for people like me who do need the absolute solution with the absolute directions that are written in the big book. And also a home for people who are not there yet or may not need this specific solution. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Donna B. Ida A., followed by Barbara E. Ida, good morning.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody, all you wonderful visionaries. Ida here, grateful compulsive overeater in northern British Columbia, still wearing my wool socks for quite a few months, but got a fire in my heart. And every morning I get to call in and hear these beautiful shares about the big book, It Comes Alive. But the other piece that happened for me is when I started sponsoring, I really understood these passages. When I first read some of this, I got caught up in the fight. I like fighting. If there's a rule, I want to break it. That's how I grew up. And so the first fight here was over words, which was really silly. I remember saying, what's a candidate? What's a prospect? What's a protege? Why isn't it a sponsee? It was always about finding some fault. And you know what that was about? I was fighting surrender. So I absolutely relate to people that go, okay, well, but I don't really want to do this piece, and I'm going to rebel about this piece. I was there. I was there. And if I'm not in fit spiritual condition, I can still be there. And I can certainly share today that I doubt whether I would have made any progress. Because without surrender down, it was the Ida show. And I was chronically fighting surrender, and it would work one day and not the next for decades. So there was like this mild food control, but raging character defects. I think it was just, you know, poor behavior defined my 20s, 30s, 40s, even into being in my 50s. I just didn't see my part, and my blame skills were extraordinary, and my insight poor. And I can share that without cliff notes because it's my life. And I feel so blessed to be a part of the Vision morning calls. And you all have changed my life, and I can share droplets of this with other people that come into my path, and I will continue to do so regardless of weather. Bless you all for being here. I pass.
Thank you, Ida. Barbara E., followed by Darian K. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Mo, and good morning, everyone. This is a beautiful day and a beautiful paragraph. And I came into the program in 1996. We read step one. We spent about 10 minutes talking about step one. We were told just by walking in the door, we had taken step one. It was not that easy for me. To say that my eating was out of control, yes, but my life unmanageable, I don't think so. And rebelling at the thought of a drastic house cleaning, I don't like to clean my house on any day, much less do a drastic house cleaning of my fears, my regrets, my everything. So I have to explain to the person who walks into the room that I once felt the way this person felt. And I don't know that I would have made any progress. I got abstinent, but it was white knuckling. I was holding on for dear life. And I was angry that you could eat and I couldn't. But I didn't eat anyway because I wanted to lose the weight. I thought it was all about the weight and my life would be perfect if I lost the weight. Well, I'm here to tell you I lost the weight, regained it all back, well over 100, tried a different program because I was so body shamed. That worked. I lost all the weight, regained it all back. Nothing worked until I gave in and waved the white flag of surrender. I give up. I'm desperate. I'm tired of digging a new bottom. I found this bottom. I couldn't go any more deeper than I was. Life was miserable. Life sucked. I had two little babies and a husband that loved me, but my life felt so miserable. I was isolated and alone. So when I finally got to a vision meeting and heard a person talk, I believed what they said, but no one offered me a copy of the big book. They said, buy a copy of the big book, underline the promises, underline the warnings, underline all the things that you think are important, and then we'll talk about them. And when she said, do something, I said, yes, ma'am, because I was tired of white knuckling it, tired of weighing myself every single day and judging my success by the scale in the bathroom. My success comes between my ears. Thank you. I look forward to the rest of you. Have a great day.
Thank you, Barbara E. Darian K., followed by Irene B. Good morning, Darian.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay, Mo?
I can.
Okay, great. This is Darian K. from the Berkshires, Massachusetts. I am so grateful to be reading this information. I remember, it makes me think, and I'll never forget, 30-odd years ago, my first sponsor said, when someone asks you what time it is, they don't want to know how your watch works. They simply want to know what time it is. And that stuck with me because there are some people out there that sort of want to know what you're doing, but maybe they don't want the specifics or, maybe would find it too difficult or they just sort of want a general answer. And so I've learned that over the years that I need to be careful how much I share because of my enthusiasm about this program. I want to really stand up on the rooftop and shout it, you know, to everyone there's a solution, but yeah, that's just not going to be helpful. And when I saw the word rebel, I thought about, you know, myself and my own sort of past. And in general, I was a rule follower, but, you know, when it came to diets, I was a rebel for sure. I didn't really do much of anything that was suggested, but wanted the results. And so that's why I do believe this is really the last place that we come to find out that honesty is a huge part of this program, and that we have to be honest with ourselves and with our higher power and with another person. And also today we have so much wonderful literature that we can give out, not just the big book. I mean, it says, you know, give them a copy of this book, but, you know, back when this was written, that was really it at the time. But now we do have information that we can offer up so that they can at least see if they can relate. And I just actually got information from the OA.org that they've revamped the website, and there's an interactive questionnaire, which I think is pretty cool. All in all, I just, you know, I'm just so grateful that I'm not a rebel today, that, you know, I call my sponsor, I take suggestions, I remain open, honest, and willing to do what needs to be done to arrest this disease, this deadly disease. It's really deadly. It's slow death, in fact. And I feel grateful as a result. And my life is not perfect, but it's better. And I feel like I have so many things I need to get through in life. And the food is not an option for me. So I am just so grateful. And thank you for all of you for being there. I pass.
Thank you, Darian K. Before I take Irene B., let me tell everybody where we're at, because after Irene, I'll take a new set of people. We're on page 94, second paragraph. Your candidate may give reasons. All right, Irene B., you're up, and then I'll take more names.
Good morning, Mo. I hope that you're doing well. I'm very grateful for your service. I am Irene B., a recovering bulimic from Louisiana. I will, in 1 month, have 3 years of recovery from bulimia. Praise be to God for that. But I am by no means recovered from the root of the problem. I've been told that food is but the symptom of the problem, and that there are other root causes. And in this paragraph, we talk about, you know, your prospect may be defiant, may not agree with you, may give you reasons why, you know, things should be this way or that way or the other way. And it occurs to me that it's not only the newcomer who does that. I think that, you know, I am very rebellious, and I didn't realize that I was rebellious, but I am. I'm very opinionated, and then when we read this text, I know people who need this program, but they have their own conception of what they need to do. It's not that bad. Or I can do this and not do that, and I know that it's not going to work. And it's very painful to understand that they're not going to get the help they need because they're so resistant to do that which they need to do to get the help they need. But I'm learning in this program that I don't get to control what people decide to do for their lives. You know, all I can do is show them the way. Leave my book. I say buy a book because I'm not parting with my big book. I need my big book. But this is just so God-inspired, and it's so funny that it says in here, you know, in this paragraph, leave a copy of this book. And yesterday I went to babysit my great niece and my nephew needs program. He comes from another program and he thinks that food is not the issue, but he's put on like 120 pounds since he became abstinent from his other addiction. So he had left the copy of his big book at my house, a copy of a nighttime eating syndrome at my house. So yesterday I just brought the books back. And I didn't say anything because there is nothing I can say that I haven't already said or that he doesn't know. But I can bring him the books.
Time.
And today I read this paragraph and it says, leave him the book. So I feel very validated and I apologize for being stubborn and I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Irene B. And now I'll open the lines up for more people who'd like to share.
Freya H.
Freya.
Sherry M.
Sherry M.
Julie E.B.
Liz M.
Margaret N.
Julie E.B. Who was after Julie E.B.? Margaret?
Liz
N. Yes.
And Shelly C.R.
Shelly C.R. Margaret N. And one more.
Sherry Josie.
Sherry Josie. Got it. All right. Got Freya H., Sherry M., Julie E.B., Margaret N., Shelley C.R., and Sherry Josie. Okay, I hope we can get through all of you, but we'll try. Freya H., first up, followed by Sherry M.
Good morning. No, this is Freya H., compulsive eater bulimic in Colorado. Thanks for the opportunity to share. The thought and the message that I'm coming through from this paragraph and the shares is that in order for me to be truly helpful, you know, to take the tolerant, kind, accepting attitude that is being being suggested here, is that I have to really be neutral about what I think this person should be doing. You know, if I'm really stuck in some belief that, oh no, they really need this program, or no, they really should be doing this, or oh, they shouldn't be, you know, including that in their food plan, I'm not neutral. I'm thinking that I know what's best for them. So if I want to truly come across in that, you know, the way that it is described here, the staying quiet, full of human understanding, not contradicting them when they're sharing their own beliefs and understanding, and that I need to be neutral. I need to release them to the care of their higher power, to trust their own process, and to, you know, just really focus on gratitude for my own recovery, and that part of my own recovery is accepting other people where they are. My underline in this paragraph is do not contradict such views, and that's a very clear direction that it is not my job to tell anyone that what they think is wrong, and that all I do is share my own experience, strength, and hope, and that if it helps, and I don't know if it's going to help them or not. It's always an inside job. If I want to be helpful, I focus on getting neutral in myself, dealing with the things that come up in, you know, whenever I'm disturbed. If this other person is disturbing me, you know, well, or if I am having a reaction to whatever they're doing, it's an opportunity for me to learn and me to work my program. So, and the other wonderful thing is that the pressure is off. You know, I don't have to convince anybody of anything. And in fact, I don't even know. So why would I put my energy into that? I just share what's worked for me and that's it. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Freya H. Sherry M., followed by Julie E.B. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Mo, and good morning, everyone. This is Sherry M., a recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. So grateful for this meeting this morning and all the meetings this morning, and I just really, some things really stood out to me, and that is, you know, when I was done and desperate and dying, I wasn't negotiating with my sponsor. I found her, I called her, I didn't interview her. I asked her if she was available. She told me she was available on Wednesdays at 5 a.m. and Saturdays at 5:30 a.m., which meant that I had to get up at 4 a.m. on a Saturday to take care of my puppy before I got on the call. I just didn't question it. I took it. I took the lifeboat. I held on for dear life. You know, this is what I've learned, is that the steps are written in order. And if I just stay in the step that I'm in, that's where God is. That's where my higher power is. And they're perfectly put in order for a reason, because by the time I'm on step two, I'm starting to have a spiritual experience. And then I'm in step three, and I'm realizing turning my life over is getting better. And then I'm doing the inventory, and then I turn that over, and I'm having a spiritual experience. And so by the time I have to get to step nine to do the amends, I'm wanting to do it, because I've been shown all along that there are promises. I think an addict, you know, being an addict is really cunning and baffling. If I had a disease and the doctor said, you must come here 5 days a week at this time to get the medicine, I would be there an hour early waiting for it. And being an addict, the question of, let's see, am I going to take some of the medicine or not some of the medicine? Here's what I know. I was dying. I could not get recovered. I found a vision for you. I surrendered. It took 3 sponsors and 1 year and 2 months, and now I'm recovered. And I got recovered from November to January. So, you know, you can put the food down for 60 days, and if your life is not, you know, better and you're not recovered, putting down the food was the easiest thing. This life is beyond my wildest dreams, and I can't believe that it would be possible for me to be neutral around food and my body. I just don't think about them. It's a non-issue, and it's because of all of you and all of your support and the special podcast and learning and studying this book. My life depends on it. It's a lot of work, but it was much more work thinking about myself and my body and my food and my, you know, shame and remorse and guilt and wanting to kill myself because I couldn't stop eating. And I just, there's so much hope. So if you're new, just give it a chance. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful day. I pass.
Thank you, Sherry M. Julie E.B., followed by Margaret N. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. And wow, how heartwarming to hear these beautiful shares, and what a bright spot it is to work with others, and to be in a place not only of hearing this from myself, but hearing recovered sponsees sharing their experience, strength, and hope of how this program works. Just really helps me to continue. You know, drastic house cleaning, who wants to muck around in the garbage? And in another program, I had spent like 1.5 years trying to muck around the garbage, and a lot of arguing back and forth with myself. Here, just looking, I personally, whatever reason, had to do like 154 resentments, 145 fears, and about 80 harms to realize that what they had in common was me. And what they also had in common was, at the end, as I had abandoned, when I abandoned myself to God, which means to give up completely, having run my course, when I got to the end of my course, always my higher power was there. So there were those two things in common with the drastic house cleaning. One was me, and the other was that I had a higher power who was willing, when I ran my course, to be there, gracious, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. So then here, this is an instruction to be neutral with the sponsee, to allow the sponsee to allow themselves to not get in arguments about certain kinds of views, and but really to focus on the action, and that I needed to take that action, and I don't have anything to offer other than that action. So it also is encouraging that you know, you can lend a copy of your book, you can read your book, and you can tell him about the fellowship, about each of you. What a blessing you've been to me at different times in different ways. Whether I called you desperate and dying, emotionally snot-nosed crying, as one of our friends likes to say, or whether I called you to share experience, strength, and hope. Every single person is a blessing here. So I hope today is the day that we just continue to reach out. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Margaret N., followed by Shelley C.R. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning. This is Margaret N., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Loomis, California. And what really strikes me with this paragraph is what a true gift desperation is. I'm excited when I see younger people in the program. I'm really happy for them and grateful they found their way. But I know for myself, it took me decades to be able to be miserable enough to not only give up the control, but really just throw it as far away as possible from me, because I had ample proof that my way doesn't work. And I have a solution now in Visions in the Big Book. It's just the most amazing, wonderful thing. And the drastic house cleaning, one thing that has become crystal clear, and this was a hard concept for me to understand, was that nobody is obliged to follow my script, even if I have more knowledge, more experience, more results, more anything. No one is obliged to follow my script. And when I slip into that occasionally, that's when I get triggered. And then I do a 10th step and it's like, oh yeah, I was expecting them to follow my script. And it's when I get fearful for somebody. I'm because they're not following my script, and I'm not trusting that they have a higher power who's going to guide them, and I'm not trusting my higher power to take care of me. So it's just, this program has revealed so many things I never knew about myself, and allowed me to love myself so much more fully, which, I didn't ever think I was lovable or deserved or worthy. So, anyway, thank you all, and thank you for your service. I pass.
Thank you, Margaret N. Shelley C.R., followed by Sherry Jo C. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, fellow visionaries. Good morning, Mo. This is Shelley C.R. from Northern Minnesota, recovering compulsive overeater. And this paragraph, what really jumps out at me, because I'm an argumentative person. And so that part that specifically says, do not contradict such views. As an argumentative person, and, you know, with my higher powers, letting go and letting my higher power take that on, you know, that has shifted. But my instinct is that I know what's right, that I know better, that, you know, we talk about within this program, it's like I can share my experience, strength, and hope, but that doesn't mean that the other person is going to do what I want them to do, live life on life's terms, right? And so, you know, I've learned, it's interesting because I feel like through this program, I've learned so much about letting others, like live and let live, for other people outside of the program, for family members, for coworkers, for just different people in my life, for people I come across at the grocery store or whatnot. that don't necessarily do things the way that I would choose to do them or the way that I see is right. And so really turning things over to my higher power through step three has been so helpful to bring me some peace and serenity and allowing me to let down the food. I'm not in that fight anymore. And so this is a good reminder for me. It reminds me, like, I don't need to be in that fight either with any sponsee, or a candidate, as the case might be. And so, you know, when I think about that, it's like, yeah, I can put that out there. But again, just like with other people within the program have their own higher power. It's not my job to direct their path. That's their higher power's job. And I need to focus on my own inventory. I need to focus on what I'm doing, my connection with my higher power. And I can let them know, you know, that the similarities or things that I also experienced and whatnot. And I can follow what it says here in the book. But it's reverting back to that, and then it's letting go of what the outcome is. And I'm very grateful for this program, being able to kind of see that, being able to improve relationships in my life, you know, being able to not have that fight with the food, as was previously the case. And just very grateful to be here and grateful for the directions of this big book. And with that, I will pass.
Well, thank you, Shelley C.R., Sherry Joe C. We may have time for one more quick share after Sherry Joe C.
Good morning, Mo. This is Sherry Joe C., recovered compulsive eater in Southern California. Thank you so much to everyone on the line today and everyone making this meeting possible. I'm so grateful for this community of visionaries. I'm loving this paragraph. I'm paying attention to the first couple words, your candidate, and I'm reminded that, you know, this is a candidate. It's not yet a protege. It's not yet someone that I'm maybe working with in one way, shape, or form. They're just beginning their journey. And they're going to go on and tell us in a little while in the book how to work with someone over time. But in this very beginning stage, what I'm reminded of is, first off, when it says, you know, they may give reasons why they need not follow all of the program, I'm reminded that, you know, denial is a primary characteristic of the disease, as has already been said. And they do say elsewhere in the big book, belligerent denial. And it's interesting to me that the belligerence is in there, and I think that that's the rebellion. But, you know, I guess I'm not surprised, you know, when I do work with someone who's just, you know, they're just waking up. I mean, they're just coming out of this daze. I remember being at a meeting years ago in Royal Oak, Michigan, and a woman walked in. And it was funny, she was wearing a T-shirt that had sparklies all over the front of it, and the sparklies said Hershey's Kiss. And then it had a beautiful, you know, cubic zirconia Hershey Kiss on it. And I'll never forget, at the end of the meeting, I was talking with her and just offering some support, and she said to me, she was probably 50 years old, and she said, "I feel like I've been sleepwalking my entire life." And so I try to remember, you know, for me it was, I was just coming out of this, you know, denial, coming out of, you know, this sleepwalking, literally drugged state with the amount of, you know, sugar and carbs and mind-altering foods and food behaviors that I was participating in. But the thing about denial that does scare me, and I do have to watch myself and make sure I'm working my steps 2 and 3 when I'm working with people, that, you know, there's a higher power that's in charge of all of this. It's not me. And I can relax. I can just work my program the way that I know it works for me and try to share that. But, you know, the big book says constitutionally incapable of being honest with ourselves. I mean, that's really the only thing that's going to block somebody from recovering. You know, it says wives or no wives, you know, job or no job. None of these things matter. The thing that can block us is if we continue to be in denial and continue to lie to ourselves and other people. And that does scare me. And I have a very healthy respect for being honest with myself as best I can be on an ongoing basis as I live the program every day. So it doesn't bother me, the denial. Seeing that, witnessing that doesn't bother me. I think it's the most natural thing in the world for a compulsive eater to want to eat. I think it's the most natural thing in the world for humans to want to do as little as we possibly can to deal with a situation. And for me, it was a dawning over time of just how much this disease had destroyed me. Right. I mean, I was on my knees asking for help, but the awakening did happen over time. And thank you for letting me share. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for sharing. You'll be our last share, as we don't have time for another one. And I want to thank all those who gave service at this meeting. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Kara L. to read a vision for you.
Good morning, my friends. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you can't transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.